You're listening to More Than Steps, the podcast where we geek out on how belly dance works, one coffee run at a time. I'm your hostess, Nadira Jamal. Today we're bringing you a special episode by the newest member of the Belly Dance Geek team, Heather Wayman.
Hi there. I'm Heather Wayman, assistant teacher and team member at the Belly Dance Geek. Today I want to share with you three strategies for dancing to Arabic music. In my high school years, I was a band geek. I played flute, piccolo, and keyboards. When I first started to belly dance, I didn't know a thing about Arabic music, its structure, or where to find it. I didn't know that there was a profound difference between Eastern and Western music. All I knew then was that it was fun to move around to. I bought every edition of CDs produced by Miles Copeland for the Belly Dance Superstars. As time went on, I was exposed to more and more Arabic music. I learned how to listen and how to process it. I expanded my music collection as often as I could. I noticed the magic that Arabic music brings to my life. Let's look at some ways to share that magic. The first and most important strategy is being familiar with the different structures of music. There are three main structures: A, section, section, section; B, verse and chorus; and C, a repeating structure. In section, 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 the structure is comprised of differing parts that are kind of standalone. There's often a hard break in between them, but not always, as the new section is usually dramatically different than the preceding section. Emergence, which is the opening piece of a full Egyptian routine, is an example of a section, section, section piece. It's almost like a full routine with its varying speeds, oriental, and folkloric flavor. A specific example of this structure would be the song Mashal, M-A-S-H-A-A-L. Next, we have the verse-chorus structure, and it's simply that. It begins with a verse, though it sometimes starts with a chorus or an intro, and it follows this pattern for two to three verses and choruses. Often it will include a short bridge or a transition before repeating a verse, chorus, or chorus, 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 and closing. A good example of this structure is the song Mirzalou, M-I-R-S-I-R-L-O-U. Third, the repeating structure repeats the same melodic riff using different instruments and flourishes for each repetition. There may also be a transition or a bridge section before finishing up with another round or two of the repeating riff. An example of this would be the song Aya Zain, A-Y, new word Y-A, third word Z-E-I-N. The second strategy is music mapping. This works particularly well for creating choreography, but it's also a very helpful way to get familiar with music for improvisation too. A general way of mapping is to notate the counts in groups of eight, where the music is tidy, but sometimes the counts present in groups of 12 or four. This can make it tricky to get an accurate notation. Don't sweat it too much. In that case, notating in phrases instead of numbers can be a more useful tactic. Think of the verse and choruses as movement sentences and short paragraphs. Mapping can also include notating the different instruments involved. This can be especially useful in the case of the repeating structure. You can capitalize on the different moods and feelings of each instrument to create movement that keeps your audience and yourself engaged through the repetitions. The third strategy is to listen a lot. Listening to a lot of Arabic music will help you learn to anticipate with reasonable accuracy when the next change is coming. But where do you start? Begin with a core group of classic songs. The album 10 Songs Every Belly Dancer Should Know springs to mind. Then add a new collection monthly, bi-monthly, or at your own pace. Being familiar with Arabic music structure and building your knowledge of many songs will enable you to dance in the moment without agonizing over what might come next. This takes time, but it's so worth it. In the digital age, we have so many resources for music. If you're relatively new to the belly dance scene, the thought of building your music collection might be a little overwhelming. Some helpful resources for music include HollywoodMusicCenter.com and MACAM.com. That's MACAM.com. You'll find classic and modern recordings. In many cases, you can listen to song excerpts before you purchase. Amazon and iTunes are also quite helpful. And there are some teachers that import CDs for sale, and some US-based Middle Eastern bands and musicians sell CDs and digital recordings of their works. So let's recap what we learned. Music is the basis for our dance. Familiarizing yourself with a lot of Arabic music is key to being able to dance in the moment. The three main structures of Arabic music are section, 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 followed by verse and chorus, and the repeating structure. Mapping your music with counts and identifying the instrumental layers of the song can help you show the music with your instrument, which is your body. I'm still a band geek, but I don't play. I volunteer with the local symphony. I still have all those Belly Dance Superstar CDs too. They make a lot more sense to me now. In the beginning, I was buying those CDs for specific songs that were popular at the time. But it's fun now to go back and listen to other parts of the albums. I find new gems every time, and now I can recognize classic songs on those albums that were published under different song names. So I guess the takeaway from that part of the story is if you already have music in your music library, even if it's just a small gathering, go back and listen from time to time as you grow in your dance practice, because chances are you'll find new gems in those albums too. So now it's your turn. How does Arabic music make you feel? And what are some of your favorite Arabic songs?
Thanks for listening. For more Geektacular resources, visit bellydancegeek.com.